Kane is in the building.
Weather is getting nicer, which means more events, whether it's a wedding or a date, Liberty Shirt Co. has you covered. They're offering three shirts for $333. Now, this may seem like a lot, but this is essentially less money than what you would spend on gas in a month, and the shirts will last a long time. And don't forget to use promo code 3P at checkout to save 10% on all other orders. That's promo code 3P at checkout. You save 10% when you go to www.libertyshirtco.com. Well, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the 3P Podcast, Season 5, Episode 11. I'm your host, Steven Bonazzo, and once again, I'm joined with
Josh Romowitz
and Alex Castle.
And we got our social media guy, TJ Hummel, here. And today's a very special episode because we have a very special guest joining us. He is a head coach of the University of Hartford Hawks men's basketball team, the founder of the neighborhood, you know, slogan and term. And that's none other than Coach John Gallagher. So, Coach Gal, welcome aboard.
Great to be with you guys.
You know, we have, we got a few questions we want to ask you today. And, pick your brain a little bit and just, you know, get to know more about you and the program and, you know, the future and all that. So let's get started. Promise, you want to go first with the questions?
Yeah. So, Coach, my first question I want to ask you is, we've seen over our last 4 years at Hartford, a lot of ups and downs. We saw COVID impacted your 2020 season. You were in the championship game up in Vermont. That got canceled. 2021, you bounced back and you won the title. That was a huge accomplishment for the neighborhood, for the University of Hartford. And then this year may not have gone exactly how everyone was hoping for, but did you see any positive outcome in this past season with how your team performed?
You know, I thought it was the most valiant effort group wise on how hard these guys played with. I didn't know. One thing I didn't foresee is how hard this year was going to be. And I just can't begin to tell you how proud I am of every guy in that locker room for sticking together, for having a top four seed, for really, I mean, just showed such great toughness and the intestinal fortitude to push through. I was really honored to be their coach. So it was, forget about the wins. Someone once, you know, this year said to me, every win counts as three this year. And when he first said it, like, what's he mean? I know exactly what he means. Just a lot of, obviously, built-in adversity. And so I was really proud of how hard we played and the way we came together.
And Coach Gallagher, I remember I was there at the playoff game against Albany in the first round, and that was an electric atmosphere just being part of it. I can imagine, you know, hopefully on the court, you guys felt it too. Now the term, the neighborhood, you know, it's all over campus. It's throughout the city of Hartford, West Hartford. So I want to, how did you find the term of the neighborhood and apply to here, and how did it grow to what it has become, and what does it mean not only to you, the team, but just the neighborhood itself?
Well, it starts really in my hometown of Philadelphia. That's where I'm from. And I come from a place right outside of Philadelphia called Delaware County, which is in short is called Delco. And, you know, when I got the job, it sort of evolved because at Hartford, we used to say, like, we're not getting the McDonald's All-Americans here. But we started to win because we had neighborhood guys. And I used to say that, like, man, we're winning because we have guys I want in my neighborhood. Guys I want to be with every day. Guys I want to know them when they get married. And I want to be there for them if they have adversity. When they have great things happen to them, like a wedding. We have a slogan that says, it's not even a slogan, it's who we are. We're going to have two tables at your wedding when you get married. And that's just the truth. And we're there. We've built it. And when you recruit, you want to recruit neighborhood guys. And then it evolved into our fans. You know, the firefighters in Hartford. You know, the local business community of West Hartford and the greater Hartford community. And we do a lot of clinics. We've done a lot of clinics, especially pre-COVID, at the Boys and Girls Club in Hartford. And that means something to us. This place means something to us. Now, obviously, everyone, you know, the board and the president want this to come to an end. And we have to be respectful of that. And we're not here to complain anymore. That's over. You know, we all have to be adults and we all have to move forward. All right. And the neighborhood has to move forward with class and dignity. So at the same time, I'm proud of what we built. I'm proud that people, so many people cared because we care about them. And it was a great run. And we built this over 12 years. And it was just so special to be a part of.
I think, you know, like you said, just even when the neighborhood moves on, it will never lose its, you know, its value and what the neighborhood means, you know, as students, as fans, and just as members of the community of the University of Hartford. So, and we appreciate the way you were able to build this neighborhood.
I'm very thankful. After we won that title game, we had a group of students that wanted to have a parade. And for whatever reason, the campus, across campus, didn't want that. And I'll never forget that group that wanted to honor us across campus, wanted to have a parade. And, you know, the student body, they didn't get to enjoy it because of COVID the way we should have, but they were a part of this. And I'm very grateful for them, and they'll always have a spot in my heart.
Coach, I love how you really dove in about the neighborhood. You know, heard about it when I was a student, but didn't really, you know, have the full glimpse of it. And now hearing, I think it just sends more of a message to us, not only what you were trying to do for these guys, you know, just as athletes on the court, but for the community off the court. And that just makes it really special. And that brings me to my next question. You mentioned about, you know, recruiting these neighborhood type guys that you want to bring into your team. And, you know, that's the atmosphere that you want to create. What are some of the lessons or values that you really push on your players, or you try to have them understand that they can carry with them once they graduate, whether it's they continue to play basketball or not, that makes them, you know, remain those neighborhood guys for forever?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, the values that you came in with, we wanted you to leave with stronger. And I think there's adversity in everything in life, and understanding that adversity is a friend, and certain people react to it in a different way. You guys, because of your experience here, forever will be champions. And those values, I want you to represent the university and the community wherever you go in life the way you did now. And what you did now was good enough, and it was great. And you must understand how great you made this place. That's what I would tell my players, to carry that forward and to bring those values and the love of the community, and just carry that forward.
Wow. That I wish I had some athletic ability to have been able to play for you, because it makes so much sense why every single player who has played for you is very vocal about saying that you were one of the, if not the best coach that they played for. And there's a reason why before this year, there was a very low transfer rate out of Hartford, because guys were committed to Hartford, not just because of the playing, but because of the community and the environment that you established for them, for their family, for everybody. And it really is special just from the outsider's perspective. My question for you, Coach, is, hold on, I forgot it. Oh.
Well, Josh, I want to say one thing to that. It's, I know they say that, and I am very appreciative of that, but it's them. It's really what's inside of them. And I always say, my job is to peel away, not add on to. So we got to dig and peel away each individual soul so wisdom comes out. My job is not over teach, but my job is to love and serve to get the best out of my players. So that's important.
I'm like being left speechless right now. That is amazing. I remember my question now. Sorry about that. This year, we talked about how each win felt like three wins, and we saw it as fans, but I want to hear a little more about that. We saw a bunch of key guys go down earlier in the year, whether it was Hunter Marks, DeJuan Clayton, Austin Williams, Moses Flowers for a bit. Talk about like how you were able to get the most out of your guys and other guys stepping up when they haven't really seen the much playing time at all.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a year with so many injuries. I've never seen, the injuries, you know, the mission of the group never wavered, but the injuries just mounted. And, you know, when they decided to stay here and honor the neighborhood, it's just a special, Josh and Alex and TJ, it's just a special players. I mean, every one of them could have left. I mean, there are a lot of them are in the transfer portal now, and they're getting amazing recruitment, and we wish them well. And obviously, there's so many moving parts to everything right now. But to just pause and realize the adversity that was going through that locker room and how they responded and rose up to have a top four finish again is amazing. Downright amazing.
Now, Coach, I know you just mentioned how a lot of your guys are in the transfer portal. So I just kind of want to ask you how, unless if you haven't at all, but I'm sure you've had a hand in, you know, with them entering the transfer portal. So how have you like kind of been involved in that process, and do you continue, you know, from now on, like you help them, and then are they kind of on their own, or you kind of still help them throughout? How's that process going with them, and how do you have a hand in it?
I'll always serve my players. I will always be their coach. I will always be there for them. So if they need mentorship, my job is to always guide them through life, whatever decision it is.
Coach, you take steps with mentoring these players that I feel not too many coaches would. You will do whatever you can to mentor these kids through a very important time in their lives. You know, college, we all go through the motions of figuring out who we are as people, you know, taking that next step. So what I want to know is who were some of your, you know, inspirations, you know, coaches that you looked up to, that you took pages out of their books, that's molded you into the coach that you are today?
Yeah, I think Fran O'Hanlon, former coach at Lafayette, Steve Donahue at Penn, are two phenomenal mentors. You know, those guys really guided me on how you have to lead with your heart and teach from the heart. And then my college coach, Phil Martelli, was a great example of that also. Very detailed and organized coach. And there was another mentor of mine that was the head coach at Hartford before me, Dan Leibowitz, who just had an unbelievable way with about himself. And then I love the way he taught and his zones, and very thorough, and just a great ball coach. So those guys really affected me.
My next question for you, Coach, is what does it mean to you seeing guys like Malik Ellison being successful in the G League, a bunch of guys playing overseas? What does that mean to you as their former head coach?
I mean, it's everything, Josh. It's just whatever it is. You know, Joe Zaglinski is the head coach at Archbishop Ryan High School, played in the Catholic League Championship. Jared Von Rosenberg's the head coach at Texas Commerce. They're going Division One. It's just, it's what the neighborhood should do. We should be successful. We should have great friendships, great bonds. It's why you live. Forget about playing. It's why you live. And that's what we try to really, we try to focus on is the relationships are really eternal, and the wins and the short term, whatever success you have is very fleeting, but the relationships live on, and the being genuine and caring about one another lives on forever.
And Coach Cal, I want to just, before I ask my last question, I just want to, congratulate you on everything you achieved here. And I just also want to compliment, you know, the team that you've created. I mean, those guys that put on that uniform for you and play on that court and represent our school, they are just some of the most stand-up guys I've ever met. I actually interviewed Tracy about the Anchors Camp and just the process with that. And he was super helpful, super knowledgeable, great guy. And some of the other guys I met that are on the team and just, you know, super nice and, you know, always willing to help out whenever and friendly. And, you know, so I just want to compliment you on that and those guys, because it really, you know, means a lot to have them represent us and, you know, the athletes, and you look up to them, but also when they're just, you know, they're cool and they're just friendly like everyone else, it does mean a lot. So, and then,
I really appreciate that. Really appreciate that.
Of course. Because I know when I was in high school, you know, being an athlete and stuff, and, you know, the coaches say, you know, you wear, you know, my town, the logo, the name across your chest, you want to represent it well, and your players and coaches and all that do that. So really, means a lot. And then
I really appreciate it.
And then my last question for you is, I know you may not have the answers or, you know, whatever, but what does your future look like for Coach John Gallagher?
You know what? That's in God's hands. I really don't know. I'd love to be here next year. And if they stay in the American East, that's my goal. I don't think their plan is to stay in the American East. So we have to figure that out. My future long term, you know, no, look, there's no secret. This was a setback. You know, usually you win it and you really try to propel a university and school forward to elite levels. That didn't happen. But we can't sit here and complain, and we got to just, honestly, we got to move on. And I had unbelievable years here, 12 unbelievable years here. I had a mentor in Dr. Walt Harrison, the former president here. Just an unbelievable leader that had such integrity. I'm just grateful for him, and to meet him and to have him as a mentor is special. I'm all love and I'm all grateful.
I think that's just the best way to go about it, you know, and I think, whatever the future has for you, you'll do great, like, you know, you've done here, and you'll bring the same energy that you do here. And, you know, again, I'm sure everyone here, you know, hopes to have you back next year and hopes to everything is how it was. But, you know, the future with the school and everything, that's uncertain. But just, you know, only being part of 4 years here, but it was the greatest 4 years that I could have had. And I think some of the greatest, you know, the past couple of years, the success you've built here has just been unbelievable. And I think, you know, everyone's proud to say, you know, they went here and they're a Hartford Hawk. So, you know, that's because of you.
Well, I want you guys, wherever the neighborhood ends up in the future, if it's next year or the following year, you'll be with me forever. And I want you guys to know that.
Oh, you got it, Coach. Yeah, we'll, you know, we got your back. We'll be supporting you wherever. And, you know, and obviously the neighborhood, you know, that's forever ingrained in us. So you guys have anything else?
I mean, thank you, Coach. This was truly amazing. And I'm sure down the road we'll be seeing a 30 for 30 about what you built here at Hartford. And because it's a tremendous story with how you overcame adversity, even from the 2020 to 2021 season, and all of the adversity you dealt with this year, and how you managed to keep your head high, your players' heads high through the issues, the drama. You always did it with a smile, it seemed like.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree with Josh.
Yeah, first off, I'm grateful that you say I did it with a smile, because I try to do it with a smile, but there's days when it's not as easy. And but we try to bring the energy, and we try to just represent what everyone is about, and that's being positive. That's fighting through the adversity, and that's not complaining. I'm grateful for you guys and for this community to embrace me for 12 years. It's been so much fun. And who knows, mate? You know, if we stay in the American East and stay Division One, I could stay here. You know, that's what my contract says. I have to honor the contract, and that's what I'm going to do.
And now before you leave, Coach, I have one last question. It's a quick one. I remember we watched you play up at Duke. You got to coach against Coach K. So I want to ask, who do you have winning the national title this year?
Wow. I think Villanova was going to win it until the injury. I think Duke, Carolina really beat up on each other. I think Kansas wins it.
Interesting. So, yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see, because the Final Four is this Saturday, and then the national championship will be the following Monday. So it'll be interesting. I have Duke, so they're kind of keeping my bracket alive. So
I have Villanova against Duke, so I'm hoping Villanova does pull it out.
You have who? Duke?
Yeah, I have Duke. I don't know. I kind of fell with the story of Coach K's last year, and he's going to go out on top. So,
well, I hope you're right, because I'm rooting for him too. I just think Kansas, you know, Villanova, that injury is too much. And then I think Duke, Carolina really beat up on each other.
That is a fair point. So it'll be fun to watch. I think this will be really fun, competitive Final Four.
Well, I'm excited to watch it. And guys, anytime you need anything, reach out to me.
Well, Coach, thanks a lot. Yeah, again, you know, we appreciate you so much coming on. And yeah, we'll definitely be reaching out to you in the future, because we'll love to have you on, you know, many more times. So thanks again for coming on, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and you know, we'll see you around in the neighborhood.
Thank you, and always be positive in the neighborhood. Thanks, guys.
We'll do.
Thank you,
got
you,
it,
Coach.
See ya.
Well, that was good, boys. I, you know, that was really nice to have Coach Gal on. You know, I just, what he brings and the energy he brings is really, you know, not too many people can match it. So I don't know if you guys have more thoughts on it.
You know, I think listening to this interview with him and kind of reflecting on the current situation with our school, I really don't think he's valued that much, because if the administration took a deeper look into what he was doing for the players, for the community. Forget the accolades. Forget the fact that we made it to the tournament for the first time. The coach that goes the extra mile is the guy that you want to keep around. And that's what Coach Gallagher does. He shed so much positivity in our student body, in our community. He's a very rare case, in my opinion, especially for a smaller D1 school like ours. And, you know, the future's still up in the air. It sounds like nothing is, you know, concrete, but what a great guy. And, you know, no matter what happens, it was just a pleasure just to, you know, I think we can all agree it was a pleasure to be students while he was coaching, because he really brought something special to our school.
Like you said, it goes far beyond the basketball court with Coach Gal. I remember just walking around campus, just seeing him shaking hands, talking to people on their way back from class, whether it's in the dining halls or whatnot. He just was there to talk to the students, make someone's day and smile, just chatting with them. And that's who he was. He was a people person, not just with the basketball team, but the entire student body, the entire neighborhood. And it really was so heartbreaking just finding out the news about them transitioning out of D1, moving down to D3. You lose all your guys, you lose Coach Gallagher, and now there's nothing. The students, yes, the attendance may not have been what you see at the bigger schools like the Dukes, the UNCs, but there are still fans of the Hawks. There are people who want to go see a game because of the program that John Gallagher built. And he had a very competitive team always. There was never one time where in my 4 years, we all were there for the same time. So I'm sure you guys could all agree. There's never a time where I saw a John Gallagher coach team tug their tail within and kind of just give up. They've played some big time games. I remember watching the game against Duke. And that's when Duke had Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, Trey Jones. They were winning at one point. They were within single digits at halftime. That was against the number one team in America. John Gallagher always had his team competing, but he also did it in such a positive way that you don't see at all. He's a rare occurrence, and we're really hoping for the best, because if Hartford loses him, that would just be truly tragic.
I think that's the thing that hurts me the most with the school's decision to go D3, because obviously, you know, I want, like, the transition itself just stinks, but I just don't like to see, I just hate seeing the school driving out the people that helped make this a great school and help make this school enjoyable and you know, drive out the good people like Coach Gallagher, you know, and Walter Harrison, what he built here. And I just feel like he built something good. And he retired. His last year was my last year of high school. So I started in the Woodward era. But, you know, I think what Woodward is doing is just, you know, knocking down everything that, you know, former President Walter Harrison built, what Gallagher has built here and other coaches and other programs. And, you know, and I just, that's what makes me kind of, you know, uneasy and just, you know, not happy where the future of the school is going, because at one point the school, I feel like, you know, listen, again, we're not getting the likes of some of these prestigious universities, but this school has a good community. It's got a, you know, good backbone to it. And it's just, I feel like it's kind of loosening because of the decisions of the leadership right now. And I think if we had just leadership, if Walter Harrison was still president, this wouldn't even be a topic of discussion right now. You know, we'd be talking to Gallagher about, you know, like, what's your plan for next year? You know, how do we get back into the tournament?
And on top of that, Hartford made March Madness, and then this decision came out. Look at the smaller name schools in recent years in March Madness and how much exposure they got. And I'm not even comparing them to St. Peter's, because Hartford lost in the first round as a 16 seed, but there's other small name schools who, okay, you'll forget about in within a year or two, but the immediate impact that that has on a school is tremendous. There's no surprise why Vermont is a well-known program now across the country, because they're constantly in March Madness. They're constantly getting that national exposure. Hartford had built that team that was competing with Vermont, and we at one point for 2 years straight did not lose or had a winning record against Vermont and UMBC, where that would have been us 2-3 years in a row possibly of being in March Madness. So the student body enrollment would be up, money would be flowing in, and who knows, then maybe we would be able to shock the world. And but that's getting ahead of ourselves, but it is just such a shame.
Yeah. Well, like Coach Galvez said, you know, you keep it moving. You know, you don't just sit back and complain, and you just keep it moving, and whatever happens, happens. You just got to trust it's for the right thing. And that's what we'll do right now. We'll keep things moving. We'll move a little bit, still keep with college basketball. But we'll talk about the Final Four. We kind of got Coach Gal's prediction about it. You know, he said obviously Kansas, because, you know, he's rooting for Duke, it seems like, but he thinks because of the injury to, what's it, Justin Moore?
Justin Moore. Yeah, torn Achilles, I believe, or right? Torn Achilles.
Yeah. Similar to KD, you know, when it happened and they showed the slow-mo, I was like, ooh, that doesn't look good. So prayers up to him, because that just is, I mean, it's unfortunate to happen whenever, but, you know, it really is unfortunate to have it.
Yeah, I think we might have lost you there, Stevie, but yeah, it was the closing seconds of the Villanova game. They had the game sealed, and then it happened, which I believe he's a senior, right, Steve? Yeah, he's either a junior or senior, potentially going to go in the draft regardless. So this is his last year at Villanova. And yeah, I don't know if he was on the team where they won the national title with Connor.
So he's a junior. So,
okay. He wasn't on the national title team with Connor Gillespie. But still, you still feel for him. Any guy, any situation, you feel for them with a serious injury like that. But in a meaningless basketball, essentially, it feels even worse. There's no reason for him to be out there to begin with, but there's no way of knowing. Will that hurt Villanova's chances, though? I kind of am leaning towards it won't. I mean, yes, I have Villanova, but when an injury like that happens, I feel like the guys would be more motivated to win for him because he can't be out there. You saw Connor Gillespie, instead of celebrating with his teammates, he went over to Justin Moore to come console him. So I think that you'll see these guys play even harder than they will because they know his impact won't be on the court. So they're going to have to make up for it. So I wouldn't be shocked if Villanova beats Kansas in the Final Four.
My only thing with that is Villanova really does not roll out with a lot of depth. They really just rotate six guys, the starting five, and then usually one other guy off the bench. Now you have to replace Justin Moore, who, you know, might be their top scorer or behind.
No, I think he's like their third or fourth leading scorer.
But
all of their starters are All of their starters are like double digit scorers regardless, but
so now you have to replace him. So you only were playing like six guys at a time, which is only one guy off the bench. And now one of your starters down. So now like you're going to have to go more into your bench, and they haven't been playing this whole season, and especially this whole tournament. And now they're expected to have an expanded role, not only in the tournament, but this lane to the tournament, the Final Four. I don't know. It might be too much. And listen, usually I'm not high on Kansas during the tournaments, but they've looked impressive all tournament long. you know, when they've had some scares, they've kind of, you know, they got it past it, but just, they really, they're a good team.
I'll let you go, Castle, and then I want to say something after.
Yeah, my bad.
I was just going to pose a question. I've seen people, you know, posting it everywhere, and it's probably one of those conspiracies where they're like, oh, you know, this happened because blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I just wanted to put it out there and see what you guys think of, I mean, look at two of the teams that are left in the Final Four. It's Duke and North Carolina.
Are you about to say you think it's rigged?
No, I'm not going to say it's rigged. But it's just interesting how these are two teams that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like going into this tournament, we weren't really talking about them making it this far. And this is Coach K's last season. So it's interesting. You know, it's one of those things where you sit back and you wonder how the storyline set up to where it is today. I don't know. Just one of those things thinking out loud.
Now, imagine, I'm under the impression that there's no chance in hell that Duke loses this game. Okay. I think that's probably almost everyone is almost in agreement that there's no way Duke loses this game. And TJ, I want your opinion because I want you to chime in as well. There's no way Duke loses, but okay, let's say Duke does lose. Imagine Coach K goes out and the last two losses he has in his career were to UNC.
Not to correct you, he did lose to Virginia Tech.
Oh, he lost in the championship.
But his last home game and then his last ever game, that would still suck.
But I think at that point, people would forget about him losing it in the title game because they already were going to be an automatic qualifier.
Yeah.
So he lost his last home game and then the final four.
Yeah, which would be his last game if he loses this Saturday, which is it Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, if UNC can pull that off, that would be something kind of nuts. You know, I hope not, but because I know a lot of people hate on Duke and Coach K, and I don't think they give him enough respect and all that. So, and then obviously for my bracket, but I think you can't deny what UNC has done, but you got to give, you know, Duke some credit. And I think, you know, everyone's going to just like wish Coach K loses and all that. And it's kind of like, why do you want that kind of storybook ending to not end like that? You just want him to lose in the Final Four to UNC. And I don't know. I think he should go out on top. I think that's the right way for him to go.
I mean, yeah, kind of to go along with you, Steve, I guess he does deserve to kind of go out on top. But I mean, I've seen Duke get off to really slow starts this season a lot more than I'm used to seeing from them. And if a team like UNC could capitalize, I think that we're going to be in for a good game regardless. But I think if Duke gets off to a slow shooting and defensive start, like I've seen time and time now this season, I think they're in for some trouble if they can't get off to a good, fast start.
Now, I want to ask you a question based off what Coach Gallagher just said. I don't know who you had you had UConn winning, so it doesn't even matter with your bracket.
yeah, exactly.
I don't know what you were thinking prior to Coach Gallagher coming on with when the Final Four was announced, who you had winning, but does his logic make you reconsider that, okay, maybe Kansas actually is more of a threat than I was thinking?
I mean, kind of going with Gal's logic, I think you could make that argument. I honestly I had UNC and I had, I think, Kansas, but I don't know. I feel like Kansas has that factor behind them that they can pull off a big win when they have to. Like they can play any pace, they can match any pace, match any team, and they can just take that and run with it, you know?
See, the thing that scares me about Kansas, because I'm really hoping they lose. I need Villanova to win so bad. I'm trying to win some money, but Kansas has so many guys who could score. They added basically the sixth man of the year, who was one of the nation's leading scorers last year in Remy Martin. And he would be most teams' best scorers. That includes Villanova, Duke, UNC. And he is Kansas's third option, essentially, which is just ridiculous. But like you said, it's not even just their scoring ability. They're also defending at a very high rate. I think we're in for a treat with both Final Fours, especially everyone's going to talk about the Duke-UNC game. It's going to be the hottest ticket, whatnot. If UNC pulls that off, I might have to come on the podcast next week and say that that might have been a bigger upset than St. Peter's. I know Castle's going to get mad at me for that, but I think with how everyone is counting out UNC, I might consider that a bigger upset than St. Peter's upsetting Kentucky or Purdue. Sorry, Castle.
You know what? I can't fully be mad at that game. First of all, towards the end of the quarter, there were just some dumb shots that Purdue was making. So they just – St. Peter's just had the – they just had that momentum advantage. I mean, I think it was Ivy who hit that three towards the end of the game. I was like, all right, this game's going into overtime, and then the second one missed, which is a whole other conversation. The amount of open threes I've seen missed during this tournament is ridiculous. Like, these are D1 athletes, and they're missing stuff that they make in shootarounds. Like, it's nothing. But besides the point, yeah, I would have to agree, actually. If UNC pulls off this win, much bigger upset. I mean, Purdue is what, the third seed? So, yeah.
Well, also, I'm also adding in Kentucky, because that was a 15 versus a 2. That was the first round.
Well, the Kentucky with the tournament this year is ridiculous. Didn't their women's team get knocked out in the first round too? Yeah. But it's, you know what? At the end of the day, you know, yeah, a lot of people are mad that it's UNC and Duke, but as a sports fan, you gotta like how things are ending for Coach K. I mean, to make it to the Final Four here, it's his last season. You know, he had a lot of competition in this tournament, so you know, I gotta give it to him. I mean, do I want Duke to win? Do I have them winning it all? Do I want them to win? No. Do I have them winning it all? Maybe. I mean, maybe these kids are gonna play their hearts out for Coach K. It's, you know, there's still a lot of basketball
left. People aren't talking about UNC also has a crazy amount of storylines too, but it's obviously being overshadowed by Duke. They have a rookie head coach who replaced Roy Williams.
Yep.
He led them to 20 plus wins in a Final Four in his first year, but no one has talked about that once because of he's matching up against Coach K.
I mean, it's just unfortunate circumstances. 'Cause I agree. Roy Williams was another legendary coach, another legendary North Carolina program. And I don't know the coach for UNC's name, but I give the guy all the credit in the world for what he's done. That is the real March Madness storyline right there. I mean, yeah, okay, it's Coach K's last season, whatever. First year coach stepping in to fill the shoes of one of the best coaches in college history. I don't know Williams' full resume, but I do know he's up there, and this is what he's done with the program. North Carolina easily could have fallen through the cracks and not made it this far, but that's the real storyline.
As an eight seed, too, it's not like they're a one or a two. Yeah, Steve?
I will say this. I think it was kind of – I'm not saying it was rigged, kind of like what you were saying earlier, but I think it was story – it was written – for UNC to pair with Duke in a Final Four matchup, because you look at St. Peter's, they beat Kentucky first round, you know, and that was crazy. Now, blah, blah, blah. And usually you have some big upsets, and then usually the low seeds, especially that low of a seed 15, loses. And then they go on to beat Murray State. So now they advance to the Sweet 16. But Murray State, you know, yeah, they're really good and stuff like that, but they're still like kind of a smaller name school. And to be honest, they weren't really on the map until Ja Morant put them on the map during the March Madness tournament. And now, you know, they're probably getting better players because of him. And then they play Purdue. You know, they played Purdue great, end up winning, beating Purdue, who was a top, you know, who was a number three seed. And then they come out and they do not look like the same exact St. Peter's team we've seen this entire time, where they don't back down. You know, defensively, the first three games, they were unbelievable. They looked like they had no idea what they were doing against UNC. Granted, UNC was making a lot of their shots. Well, they did miss a lot too, but then, you know, they weren't taking their chances and shots like St. Peter's normally was doing. You know, they were passing them off. They're taking, you know, more contested shots. You know, I grant maybe they just used all up their gas and everything and, you know, had no more energy and whatever, but I don't know. It seemed like we watched two different St. Peter's teams from the first three games to the last game. And, you know, I'm not going to say it again, it was rigged, but I think the NCAA kind of wanted more of the UNC Duke matchup than Duke versus this underdog, which I think more of the country wanted. You know, everyone was on the St. Peter's hype train and bandwagon kind of thing and was loving their story and their coaches, their play, you know, the players, Doug Etter, you know, and they loved the coach Shaheen Holloway. So like for them to just go out like that, it's not like they were even competitive that game by any nature, any means. Like they just seems like they did not belong in that game. So I'm just saying that it seemed it was a little off to me, a little fishy, but I think overall the UNC Duke matchup will be one for the ages. It's crazy that in their whole history, this is their first time meeting in the March Madness tournament. And it's crazy that, like, you know, it's cool. Like, obviously, a first round game would be cool, but the fact that it's the Final Four to determine who goes to the national championship, you can't get much better than that.
You know, it's funny you talk about this, you know, storyline with the setup of, oh, they, you know, got in this game against the Tar Heels with St. Peter's. You could have easily, you know, you could easily backtrack and, you know, say the same thing with other teams in the past. No? So I get what you're saying, and I do get, you know, how it can be perceived that way. But at the end of the day, as sports fans, we're definitely more, you know, favorable of this matchup from a spectator's point of view, at least.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, UNC is a better team than St. Peter's.
Yeah.
You know, they have the better recruits. They have the better, you know, but I'm just saying the difference. I just feel like it was too obvious, the difference that you saw. See, you know, St. Peter's was contending with these big time schools. So it was like, why couldn't they compete with UNC? And then it was just too much of a difference for me to be like, well, that was just a hard fought game and UNC just pulled out. They're the better team. Like, It was almost a little too obvious, and that's why I'm like, it's a little fishy, but I'm not complaining.
Let me ask you, how close together was the Purdue game and the UNC game for St. Peter's?
Well, I think the largest deficit.
No, I mean like time period, like played Purdue this day and then.
Oh, yeah. They played Purdue last like Friday, and then they played.
Well, every game was 2 days apart.
Yeah.
There's no difference in time, like set up by the NCAA.
No, I'm just what I was trying to get at is
probably fatigue because of playing four games in the spotlight when they were never accustomed to it. At some point, it was going to get to them. It just took them a lot longer to hit that wall than most teams. Usually, most teams hit that after the first game. If not in their first game, because they're playing big time opponents.
But when they hit that wall, they hit that wall hard, because that was a tough showing for St. Peter's. But you know what? We got to give them a little shout out, because what they did was, you know, that was a Cinderella story for sure. First 15 seed ever to go to the Elite Eight. So can't deny what they did. And I think Shaheen Holloway supposedly he might be the new head coach of Seton Hall. So we'll see if that gets finalized. And that would be, that'll bring some news in the Big East. And, you know, who knows? Like, Seton Hall is usually pretty competitive. So now if they get a guy like Shaheen Holloway, then the Pirates might be on the move. So
that would be a major jump for Seton Hall. I mean, for me, growing up in New Jersey, Seton Hall has kind of been known as that, like, top college program in the state. So to get a coach like him and bring him back, I mean, that would be huge. But I hope he stays where he is. I love his mentality. You know, there was that one quote where he was like, yeah, we got guys from New Jersey and New York. You know, we're not the type to back down. You know, that just you got to love that mentality with a coach like that. And I really think he did something special this season. And, you know, unless there's really something drawing him to Seton Hall, why give that up? I mean, good handful of these guys, I think, will still be around next season. He's got something to build off of now. But going to Seton Hall, man, that would be, like you said, that'd be a big shakeup.
It would be. And, you know, we'll see, again, if it officially happens. Because I know after, like, that game, it said he was in talks. But, again, who really knows what is what will actually happen, because, you know, I think a lot of people want to see him stay, but then, you know, if this is his big chance to get that big time, and plus, like you said, bring him back because he played there, you know, he was a player there. So it's all, you know, at this point, you just have to wait and see what happens. And, you know, it was great to kind of dive into college basketball a little bit, you know, especially now that it's this late. So it was good to interview Coach Gal and get his perspective, especially locally, since we all, you know, attended or are still attending here. And and then, you know, we watch all these smaller schools and we're part of it. So it's good to see that. And then dive into the Final Four and the big schools. So that's all the time we have today. Before we sign off, do want to give a few shout outs. TJ, thanks for all you do on the social media, putting out the great content. Thanks for, you know, being with us every episode and, you know, helping us out, you know, as much as you do. So thank you.
Anytime. It's always a pleasure, boys.
And then, you know, shout out to Kevin from Wild Chat Sports. You know, again, we love being partners. He's getting all these great guests and he's putting out great content. And, you know, we're always excited to see what he puts out and who he gets. And just love to be partners with him. Liberty Shirt Co. You know, I think my shirt's still coming in the mail, but, you know, they make everyone look good, whether it's on TV or just at your job or whatever. They got the best stuff. So shout out to them. Thank you. And make sure to get their products. And then also, last but not least, shout out to OP Sports Betting. You know, they're coming on soon, so we're excited to see what's in store for them. And we just, you know, we're so excited to be partners with them and see where this thing goes. So thanks to all of our sponsors, and thanks for all of our listeners for, you know, continue to listen to us. And we hope that we keep, you know, we'll keep putting out this great content and you keep listening, and hope everyone enjoys their week and days, and we'll see you next time.